If you will now turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 6. We'll be continuing our series in the Gospel of Luke and reading this morning from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. Beginning our reading then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 20, hear now the word of God. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, as we come to your word, we come hungry to hear and to understand and to receive it as it is the very word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now teach us by your word. And work in us by your Spirit, that we might hear it, that we might obey it, and that we might be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever cried and then felt bad about it? Perhaps you've said to yourself, "Don't be a crybaby." Or you children, you've been told, "Big kids don't cry." Perhaps you said, "Toughen up." Well, these statements all have one thing in common. These statements all imply that tears are not allowed. That weeping is a sign of weakness and is something that should not be done. But is that true? Is it biblical? Is weeping really a sign of weakness? Is it okay for Christians to cry? That is the question that I want to address in this sermon. And I hope that as I do so, you will see that not only is it okay to weep, but it is both necessary and beneficial for your Christian walk. Now, non-Christians will not understand this truth. Non-Christians seek to avoid sorrow at all costs. Jesus describes them here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 25 as those who laugh now. And he says, "Woe to you who laugh now." They either seek to joke about suffering and sin, or they seek to block the effects of suffering and sin by numbing their minds through the use of the things of this world. Neil Postman wrote a book many years ago entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. Amusing Ourselves to Death. And I think this is a fitting description of what many in our world are attempting to do today. Whether it is through drugs, alcohol, food, sex, entertainment, whatever works, they are amusing themselves now in order to avoid suffering, in order to avoid thinking of sin. But this amusement leads only to death. William Hendrickson, the commentator, puts it this way: "Those who laugh with the world will perish with the world. In eternity, their mourning will never cease. Their tears will never be wiped away." Now, it should not surprise us that non-Christians do this. But I want to challenge you, are we any better? Are we as Christians any better When we look at the church, and especially the church in America, it would seem that we are not. There's a prevailing trend in the church to put on a happy face. To not let anyone see that we are experiencing pain. To not be open and to be vulnerable with one another. And this is something that the early church would have seen as quite abnormal. You see, we are called as Christians to be conformed to a suffering Savior. And yet we live as if we would avoid suffering at all costs. We suppress tears. And when we suppress tears, we suppress the truth. We deny the reality that we live in a world that is full of pain. A world that is full of pain from sickness, full of pain from suffering, and full of pain from sin. Jesus understood the pain of this world. And He teaches us here how we as Christians are to deal with it. As we come to Luke chapter 6, Jesus has begun His ministry after being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. He comes from the wilderness full of the power of the Spirit. And He heals all who come to Him. He preaches to the people. He faces opposition from the Jewish leadership. And He has just now, after praying on this mountain in Luke chapter 6, called the disciples to Himself and appointed the 12 apostles. And now as He comes down the mountain with the 12, He begins to teach the people. And beginning in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, we read Luke's recording of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in this recording of the sermon, Jesus begins with these blessings and woes. Four pairs of blessings and woes. We've already learned about the first two pairs. Blessed are the poor, and woe to those who are rich. Blessed are the hungry, and woe to those who are filled. But today I want to look at the third pair. Blessed are those who weep now, and woe to those who laugh. One commentator summarizes this teaching in this way. Blessed are you who suffer scorn and pain as you identify with God and depend upon Him. For you shall be fully welcomed by Him at His table and shall rejoice. And as we look at these verses, particularly the second half of verse 21, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And the second part of verse 25, woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. I want you to understand this truth, that weeping in this life is both necessary and beneficial for the Christian. Weeping in this life is both necessary and beneficial for the Christian. You might ask, how is weeping necessary in the life of a Christian? Weeping is necessary because it is part of our Christian walk. Weeping is necessary because we live in a fallen world. I rarely write a sermon hoping that the outcome of that sermon would be that people would learn to weep or to cry. But this one is different. I want you to weep. I want you to weep because I think that we have all forgotten how to weep. We've forgotten why we must weep. We have become so numb by the world around us that we have adopted the world's way of dealing with suffering. And we fail to see how bad things really are in the world. We watch the news. We hear of murders, disasters, pandemics, wars, abuse, adultery. And we turn off the television. And we walk away without a tear in our eye. How is this so? If God were to open our eyes for just a moment, for just a second, and allow us to see the reality of our world, to see the reality of sin, to see the reality of death in our world, it would crush us. We would weep with uncontrollable tears. But it is far worse than that. People are dying for eternity. And if God were to open our eyes and to show us a glimpse of hell, that eternal and everlasting torment of separation from God. We would not be able to produce enough tears to express the sorrow that our hearts would feel. And so we have blocked out all of these things. We have not thought of them, and therefore we do not weep over them. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He did not. He felt the full weight of this sorrow. And we are to be imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you that weeping was necessary for Jesus. Perhaps you've heard this, real men don't cry. Whenever I hear that, I want to direct people to Jesus. Because Jesus certainly was a man and is a man. Jesus is the one who went into the temple and overturned the money changers' tables, chasing them out with a whip. And yet we read of Him weeping. In John 11, verse 35, at the grave of Lazarus, we read Jesus wept. Men, I want to speak to you. Because there's this idea in our culture that men are to be a certain way. But men, know this, sensitivity is not a weakness. Sensitivity is not a weakness. But it is a strength when it's used in the right way. Jesus wept because He saw the world for what it was. He saw in a way that we do not see the devastation of sin and the devastation of suffering. And He wept. We're told in Hebrews that He wept as He prayed. Look with me at Hebrews and chapter 5, verse 7. Speaking of our great high priest, the author of Hebrews in chapter 5, verse 7 says this, that He is the one who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to Him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Notice in verse 7 that He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. Vehement cries and tears. Jesus not only wept over suffering, as He wept at the grave of His friend Lazarus, but He wept over the sin that was so prevalent and is prevalent in the world. And if weeping is necessary for the Lord Jesus Christ, then weeping is certainly necessary for us who are being conformed into His image. We are called to weep with those who weep. Jesus cried. He wept over the presence of sin. He wept over the effects of sin. But Jesus, we know, had no sin. He didn't weep over His own sin, but we are called to do so because we have sin. Weeping is necessary because we live in a fallen world, but weeping is also necessary because we are a sinful people. As David says in Psalm 51, verse 5, He was conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. We are all sinners, and we must weep over our sin. I want to challenge you with this, though. When was the last time you wept over your sin? When was the last time you wept over your sin? When was the last time you looked at your sin and it broke your heart to know that you were sinning against a holy God? And yet a God who was willing to die for you. We don't take sin seriously. And that's why we don't weep over it. I know that I don't weep like I should. I often pray to God, God, help me to weep over my sin. Help me to weep over the suffering that my sin has caused. Help me to weep over the suffering that I see in the world. Because I know the temptation is that my heart will become hardened. And I won't be able to weep as I ought. And so I hope that that will become your prayer as well, that you will ask God to help you weep over your sin and over the suffering that you see in the world, because it is necessary. And as a Christian, you are going to be tempted to view weeping as something that is unnecessary, as something that is a sign of weakness, something that is to be avoided at all costs. And there are many ways that this world will provide to you to avoid the reality of suffering and sin. Many have drowned the cares of this world through the use and abuse of substances. Many have avoided the reality of suffering and their own sin by the overconsumption of food or through sex. And others have used entertainment to do this. Perhaps you have yourself have given into this temptation. Perhaps right now you are using the things of this world to avoid thinking about the reality of this world. Well, if that's you, confess that sin to God. Tell God that you have relied upon the things of this world to avoid seeing things as they are. And ask Him to help you to weep over your sin and to weep over suffering. Don't take the world's path of ease. I'm not suggesting here that you go looking for reasons to weep. But what I am telling you is this, that you must realize that weeping is necessary. And if you avoid it, you will short-circuit God's plan to use it for your good. And so we see that weeping is not only a necessary part of your Christian walk, but it is also a beneficial part of your Christian walk. Weeping is beneficial because it provides you with present blessings. Jesus tells us here in Luke chapter 6, and the second part of verse 21, "Blessed are you who weep now." Jesus is saying that if you're weeping now in the present, you're blessed. Not simply because of what's going to happen later, but because of what God is going to do in the present. And I want to list two present blessings that we find when we learn to weep in the right way. And the first blessing is that weeping aligns your heart with God's heart. When you weep over sin, you're showing that your heart is as God's heart. God hates sin. Psalm in chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. We read that God is not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. God hates sin. And when your heart is aligned with God's heart, you will begin to hate sin as well. You will begin to weep over it. Your own sin will cause you to cry tears of repentance. That godly sorrow that Paul speaks of. Your sin will cause you to desire to be freed from it and be a motivation to you to flee from it. Sin in others will cause you to mourn the harm that that sin causes to the name of God. We read of this in Psalm 119 and verse 136. Psalm 119 and verse 136. The psalmist writes, "Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law." The psalmist is saying here that rivers of water, tears were running down from his eyes. Why? Because he witnessed men not keeping the law of God. He witnessed men who were rebelling against God and doing harm to His name. Weeping will align your heart with God's heart because it will cause you to hate sin. It will also then align your heart with God's heart because it will cause you to sympathize with others. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest, as Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And He is the one who can sympathize with us in all of our weaknesses. He knows what it's like. And so when you see others suffering, you will cry tears of sympathy with them. We are called to weep with those who weep. When you see others sinning, you will cry tears of sorrow for them because you know where that sin goes. You know where it leads. You will plead with God for them. Like God, you will hate sin. Like God, you will sympathize with others. And like God, you will warn others about sin. That is what Paul does. He warns others of sin with his own tears. Look at Acts in chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20 and verse 31. We read, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." For 3 years He warned people of sin with tears. Paul says something similar in his letter to the church in Corinth. 2 Corinthians and chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you." Paul didn't say, "I'm pointing out your sins because I want to shame you." Paul says, "It was out of anguish of heart that I wrote to you with many tears. Because I loved you and I did not want to see you continue down that path of sin." So weeping is beneficial because it aligns your heart with God's heart, but it's also beneficial because it drives you to your knees in prayer. You will weep in prayer over your own sins. David did that, recorded for us in Psalm 6. Psalm chapter 6. David begins in this way, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long?" And then in verse 6, he says, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears." David wept over his own sin. He understood that he needed the mercy of God. It will drive you to your knees in prayer as you weep over your own sins. It will drive you into your knees in prayer and cause you to weep over the sins of God's people. Daniel, as he was in exile, prayed for God's mercy to be given to his people. Daniel chapter 9 and verses 3 through 5. Daniel says, "Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant and mercy with those who love Him and with those who keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments." Daniel here confesses to God that we, Your people, have sinned against You. You will weep in prayer over your own sins. You will weep in prayer over the sins of God's people. And you will weep in prayer over the suffering of others. Jesus brings this out in Luke chapter 18, in verses 1 through 8. He tells a parable here of a certain judge and a widow. Luke 18, verse 1, "Then He spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Here Jesus teaches us and encourages us that we ought to pray and not lose heart, crying out day and night to God, who bears long with us in praying over the suffering of others. Weeping is beneficial because it provides you with present blessings. Blessed are you who weep now. But it also is beneficial because it assures you of future blessings. Jesus goes on, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall future be joyful. You shall laugh. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Brothers and sisters, every sorrow that you face in this life is a deposit in the heavenly bank account of God's comfort. And it will be repaid with great interest. We know that one day, you will never cry again. One day you will never cry again. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. The promise of God is that in that day, God will wipe away every tear from the eyes of His people. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. One day you will never cry again. And if God promises to wipe away your tears, that implies and assumes that you will have tears to wipe away. Think of it like this. Your tears in this life provide the canvas upon which God paints His comfort. There are so many biblical texts that speak of the comfort of God in wiping away our tears and in providing joy in the place of mourning. And I want to look at three of them with you. The first one is Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. We read there that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. The second verse is Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5. There we read that God's anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And the third verse is in the prophet Isaiah in chapter 65. Isaiah in chapter 65, beginning in verse 17. Here we're told of the new heavens and the new earth. And in Isaiah 65, verse 17, we read, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. We see this great promise, this great future blessing that our Lord Jesus alludes to here in these words in Luke chapter 6. Speaking to those who weep now, he says that later you shall laugh. But not only one day will you never cry again, but one day your tears will be a testimony to God's glory. Your tears will be a testimony to God's glory. We see of this in Isaiah in chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61 begins in verse 1 with that great and glorious truth, that truth that the Lord Jesus preaches in that great sermon recorded for us in Luke chapter 4. He begins, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Why? Because the Lord has anointed Him to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who are who mourn. And then look at verse 3. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Why? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. You see, your tears in the present will not only be wiped away in the future, but they are going to be and are the way in which God is going to be glorified as the one who has come in and through the Lord Jesus Christ to bring comfort to His people. We begin with that question, is it okay for Christians to cry? Is it okay for Christians to cry? And I hope you see that the answer is absolutely. In fact, it is more than okay. It is both necessary and beneficial for your Christian walk. It is necessary because you live in a fallen world. Things are not right here now, and we must recognize that. Things are hard. It is necessary because we are sinners. In other words, we must weep now because we suffer now. And we must weep now because we sin now. The only people who do not weep now are the unsaved, and they will weep and mourn for eternity. But then the question still remains, do you weep? Do we as Christians weep over the suffering that we see and the sin that we commit? I don't think we weep as we ought to weep. We don't weep over the right things. We weep because of the consequences of our sin, but we fail to weep over the fact that we've committed those sins. We weep because we have been hurt. But we fail to weep because we have hurt God and we've hurt others. If you don't weep, then ask God to help you weep. Ask Him to open your eyes to see the suffering of this world, to see your own sin and the sin of others, and to weep over it. And that the tears that you cry would be used to drive you closer to Him, to align your heart with His, to drive you to your knees in prayer for others, to warn others of the danger of sin in this life. But when you do weep, I want you to weep with this great comfort. Know this, that while the Christian life is not one that is without tears, it is one in which God enables us to see through the tears. Our tears, says one commentator, are like raindrops which fall to the ground and come up in flowers. And those flowers are the promises of God to us. That although weeping may endure for a night, it's certain that joy will come in the morning. Amen.